All right, so I'm going to be talking today about typesetting Unicode mathematics with a LaTeX sort of an interface. Now, I know not everybody here is necessarily a LaTeX user, so I'm happy to talk about these ideas in other sorts of contexts, if you'll allow me to put that sort of a spin on it. But I also know there are plain tech users here as well, and I'm not going to be talking about like the underlying functionality that allows this sort of work, but again, I can talk to you one-on-one about it if you're interested. So nominally, I'm from the University of Adelaide down in Australia. At the end of my PhD, doing vibrations and magnetics and things. But I'm also been doing a little bit of work with the LaTeX 3 project. I won't be talking about that today. And before I begin, I really have to thank a few people for me being up here right now today. The Tech Users Group was really, really generous with helping me to actually come all the way to America. And thank you very much for that, for everyone that's involved. Also, Barbara Beaton has done an enormous amount of work over the last however many years on the Styx fonts and with a lot of work with Unicode mathematics just in general. And obviously, Jonathan and Taco for ZTech and LuaTeX, we wouldn't be where we are today without them either. So I'm not going to be talking in too much detail because when I said it out loud, it went for a long time. So if you want a little bit more detail, there's an extended abstract printed in the conference booklet. So up here right now, I'm going to be talking about like what Unicode mathematics actually is, what fonts are available for it as of today, and how we can use those symbols and alphabets that are within the Unicode mathematics standards within LaTeX and for selecting fonts, and how I think that mathematical alphabets or styles should sort of behave from the point of view of a LaTeX interface. Now, where did Unicode maths come from? Well, I guess you'd sort of say that the computer modern math fonts were the origins of computer typesetting of mathematics, with a couple of minor exceptions. And back in the day, there were a bunch of fonts put together with, let's say, as many symbols as could be fit into these fonts that would encompass what most people would need to use most of the time in terms of accessing symbols in mathematics. The AMS Math Editions rounded out that set of symbols for a little bit more of a larger audience. Later on, there were some other fonts produced with Euler and Lucida and Mathheim and so on, as well as other non-tech fonts like Symbol and the fonts used in Mathematica. And the thing about all of these different maths fonts is that with some exceptions where there were overlaps, all of these fonts had completely ad hoc encodings. So there was no consistent relationship between symbols and glyph slots. So if you wanted to get some sort of symbol in some sort of font, then you needed to know explicitly what font you were using and where that symbol was located within the font. So this was seen to be a little bit of a problem because it made support for new maths fonts very difficult, or not difficult, but just very tedious to implement. So the Math Font group, way back when, started to put together an 8-bit math font encoding, which had the aim of making it as easy to switch math fonts as it is to switch text fonts. All you need to know is the name of the font that you want to use, and then all of the underlying internals will take care of all of the encoding business. Now, unfortunately, perhaps not unfortunately, this system was implemented back at the time, but it was never adopted for a number of reasons. But the main reason was because Unicode was this big thing just coming up at the time, and was seen to be much more important to get Unicode up to scratch with mathematics than to get this 8-bit math font encoding really out there working because, well, after you've got that working, you still need to do the Unicode math part. So the project sort of morphed from taking these 8-bit math fonts, which had, 256 symbols each, or glyphs, I should say, which encompassed probably the greatest number of math symbols used at the time in any sort of tech font, and expanded that as much as it could, given the limitations of 8-bit tech. And then the Unicode math people I guess, expanded that to the limits of every single theoretically known maths symbol, with some minor exceptions. So at time of speaking, I think there's some 2 or 3,000, 4 or 5,000. I forget, many thousand of Unicode math characters that have been identified and put into the Unicode standard. And so this is sort of where we are today. Next one. If you imagine this, but multiplied by several hundred times, then you sort of get an understanding of all of these symbols that have been identified and put into the Unicode math font encoding. And the idea here is that you've got a very good coverage of all of the math symbols that people want to use, almost everybody anyway. And you've also got a consistent way that font designers can incorporate these symbols into their fonts. Before the Unicode math people got together to do, to extend Unicode for mathematics, this just wasn't really possible. So you see all of those old fonts, like the symbol font or the Mathematica fonts back in the day, just threw all of their symbols in there, but without any regard for interoperability between different programs. So the fact that we've got mathematics in Unicode means that you can move Unicode plain text that contains mathematics between different programs, like a browser, a PDF, or a LaTeX source document, a little bit like Ross was showing in his earlier presentation. So at around about the same time, a group of publishers got together to create the Styx fonts. And the idea with the Styx fonts was to actually instantiate or create a reference for all of these Unicode math symbols. It's one thing to identify them all. It's another thing to actually say, this is explicitly what we want them all to look like, and here's a font that everyone can use to actually render their mathematics. So talk to Barbara about how much of a problem this is creating an encompassing and consistent math font encoding, or a math font, sorry, when there hasn't been something like this before ever. So these have just been released for the first time a couple of weeks ago, which is very good timing for my talk. And they're at the stage now where we have a set of reference glyphs, which we can use typeset mathematics for any sorts of mathematics that we wish to typeset. But maths needs more than just glyphs for proper typesetting. So I'm sure some of you are aware of the complicated algorithms that are incorporated within TeX, and also how these algorithms require certain font properties to be included in the maths fonts that you're using. So Jacko wrote a great paper sort of illustrating all of TeX's math font placement algorithms in a graphical sort of manner, as you can see up here, and it's really good to sort of visualize all of the complicated things that are going on in there. But to go back to how this works for Unicode, back in Word 2007, Microsoft came and extended their OpenType font standard so that you could, for the first time, include in OpenType fonts all this extra information and the font parameters required to do the spacing of mathematics correctly. This was a generalization of the algorithms in TeX, and also a little bit of an extension. So there's information such as the placement of subscripts and superscripts on the left of a thing, which in TeX you just copy from where they would go on the right-hand side. In Unicode math, that they can be incorporated separately if you want. So with this extension of the OpenType format by Microsoft, the OpenType fonts can now contain everything that we need. The OpenType fonts can contain all of the glyphs from Unicode, and then they contain the math parameters or the information needed to actually typeset these fonts in a Unicode math rendering engine, such as Microsoft Word 2007 onwards, and also in ZTeX and LuaTeX, which contain within them an OpenType math renderer. So I'm here today to talk about a proof of concept implementation of how Unicode maths will work in LaTeX. To run it, you can go to CTAN with TeX Live 2010, hit use package Unicode math, and I'll show you this package in practice in a minute. So because it's dealing with Unicode and dealing with OpenType fonts, it requires one of these tech extensions, such as ZTech or LuaTeX. You wouldn't really be able to do this sort of thing with one of the older Unicode texts like Omega or Aleph, because they're only 16-bit, and the math characters in Unicode actually extend past the 16-bit limit in Unicode. So right now, this package works really well in ZTech under LaTeX or zLaTeX. Lua LaTeX supposedly works, but it needs a little bit more testing. Okay, so we really want to know what fonts are available. There's no point actually writing this thing if you can't use the support in fonts that are available. So the gold standard at this point in time is Cambria Math, which was commissioned by Microsoft for their OpenType Math font rendering engine. And this is a proprietary font. You can buy the Math font itself for $35, or the entire family of text fonts with the Math font for $120. And that's from the Ascender Font Foundry. And the reason I call it the gold standard at the moment is because they've put a lot of work into it to put a lot of glyphs in there. At this stage, not as many as sticks, but they've also tuned up all of the spacing and made it look real nice for their Word 2007, but also, as you can see here, this is typeset by ZTech, so looks pretty good. Asana Math is the first Unicode math font made freely available. It was put together by the FontForge font editor by Apostolos Saropoulos, and FontForge has added the extra tools necessary to add OpenType math information to fonts. And it's an extension of the Math Parzo fonts, which are Palatino clones with math support, which you can access in LaTeX. It works at the moment, but it doesn't have all of the polish that you see in Cambria Math. Now, I was saying the Styx fonts have been released, but they have not yet got the OpenType information necessary to do Unicode math typesetting. And while this is planned for the very near future, Khaled Hosni has started to do this himself because the Styx fonts are under a free font license. So the Xitz math font is the Styx fonts, but with this extra information to do the OpenType rendering. And as you can see up here, it looks pretty good. Just by comparison, what I mean when I say you need extra information is that if you try and do this example right here with the Styx fonts, you get something very similar, but you can see this integral sign hasn't expanded up to fit its display style requirements. And if you had large braces and so on, they wouldn't automatically change size. So everything is there in Styx, it just needs a little bit more information, which will be coming in the near future. Finally, the Euler font is in the process of being extended and put into Unicode with these extra parameters. Khaled Hosni, again, is the number one person behind this, but I think Hans and Taku are helping out a little bit. You might want to, I've got some confirmation on that. And I find this font extremely attractive, if a little bit unconventional. So I'm glad to see that it is surviving into the modern age. So we've got these Unicode Maths fonts, and we've now got support for actually using them in LaTeX with this package, but how does it all work? The fundamental philosophy behind this package is that you should just be able to load Unicode Math and not have to change any of your mathematical source documents to take advantage of what it can do. So all of the maths documents currently in existence should work, but there's a big fingers crossed on that, and I'm sure there are lots of edge cases probably where there's a little bit more work needed to be done. I just thought this morning that the current BM command won't work properly at the moment, and also the Brecken package is not supported yet either, but development is continuing. And so the way that you input symbols and characters into Unicode Math with this package, for a start, is exactly the same as if you are using regular LaTeX. If you want a mathematical W, you hit W on your keyboard. You can also, however, as Ross was showing in his examples, if you've got the Unicode W in a string of plain text, you can paste it into your LaTeX source, and it will behave correctly. Similarly, if you want to input a symbol, the traditional LaTeX way is to write slash circled asks in this case to get a circled asterisk. If you have the Unicode string for that, however, you can paste it into your source and it will work correctly as well. The biggest change is for Unicode math alphabet styles, where you have alphabets in Latin and Greek that might be in bold or italic and so on. And these are actually incorporated within the mathematical Unicode standard so that you can copy and paste plain text of mathematics and a lot of the meaning will be preserved as you move this information around. You can refer to these characters with actual control sequences now. So if you want a bold X, you can write /MBFX. But there's also the backwards compatible method of doing so where you would use the MathBF control or command to get the bold X. In some cases, this will be more convenient. And finally, again, if you have this bold X lying around in some text, you can paste in the Unicode value into your LaTeX source and get the output. I'm sure you can see the pattern here. So as I was saying, there are lots of these alphabet styles within Unicode maths. Just very quickly, here they all are. You've got a Roman variety with Greek in upright, italic, bold upright, and bold italic. With sans serif, you have Latin in the normal case, and for italic. For bold sans serif, you also have a Greek alphabet. And this might seem a little bit strange that the normal case sans serif does not have Greek. This is because the Unicode Consortium is very strict about what requirements they'll allow symbols to go into Unicode. Evidently, we haven't got any proof yet that mathematicians use sans serif Greek without being bold in any of their documents. So at this stage, it's not allowed into Unicode. That might change in the future, in which case, and the Styx fonts, I think, indicate that this might happen in the future, that some of this support will be rounded out. The good thing about Unicode is that it is open-ended and things it will adapt to change as mathematicians and other scientists, technical writers, use more symbols in their documents. So we've got bold italic as well, and then all of the other styles that we'd be used to seeing with typewriter, blackboard, script and bold script, fractor and bold fractor. Actually, to be honest, I didn't know that there were bold script and bold fractor alphabets, but that's why we do what we do. Now, the Styx alphabet, as I said, have started to already expand on the number of symbols that are in Unicode mathematics, and so we have a little bit of a rounding out of the alphabets that are already present, including the sans serif and the blackboard fonts, where we now have Greek styles of sans serif and as well a complete alphabet of blackboard italic and bold blackboard and bold blackboard italic. I'm not sure if that's for consistency mostly or because it's a need that has yet gone unfulfilled. I might talk to Barbara about that a little bit later. But one area that I've had recent feedback from an actual working mathematician is in the calligraphic alphabets, where this mathematician was using math cal and math script, so a script font and a calligraphic font within the same documents, even within the same equations in his mathematics, and has published proof that this sort of requirement is necessary. So the Styx fonts have a calligraphic font and a bold calligraphic font, and I'm sure within a certain amount of time these will also be included into Unicode. One point that I feel I should mention, although I don't think it's that important, is that the calligraphic fonts don't have a lowercase alphabet, and I'm not saying that it should, I'm just saying that this is the only Latin alphabet in mathematics, or in Unicode mathematics, that doesn't have a lowercase. Am I wrong about that, Barbara? Why I've got dimples? Numerals. Okay, I might have misinterpreted one of the... I haven't looked into the Styx table properly to get all of the support working for calligraphic alphabets. So I might have misinterpreted some of the glyphs that I saw that were present in the fonts. We'll talk about that later. Okay, so you can input symbols and mathematics just as you normally would with a bit of an extension there. But one thing that I've tried very hard to achieve with this package is a separation of content and form that you don't traditionally see in LaTeX mathematics. So up here I've got a couple of Latin and a couple of Greek letters, and depending on how you load your font, or you can load the package with this style, you'll get a different output based on your preference of how your mathematics should look. So Tech, or LaTeX, I should say, traditionally has italic Greek letters except for uppercase Greek, in which are upright. But the ISO standards say that, well, we should be a little bit more consistent and just use italics shapes for everything. With the Unicode Math package, and also there's a couple of other packages on CTAN that were my inspiration for this, you can switch between like a text style or an ISO style simply by changing a package option rather than changing any of the symbols that you're using in your math source. There's a couple of other options for completeness. Some French mathematical typesetting uses upright Latin uppercase and lowercase Greek. And then there's an upright option to support the Euler Maths fonts particularly, and it has a couple of other uses as well. Along another axis, the bold fonts change their visual look depending on, well, who's doing the typesetting and what program is doing it. So in LaTeX, traditionally, you would use MathBF to access the bold Latin letters, and you'd use /BM to access the bold Greek letters. I can't say how many times I've been asked by users, how do you get bold Greek letters? I've tried MathBF and it just doesn't work. So in Unicode Math, you can use this MathBF command for both Latin and Greek, which I think is a big usability improvement. And again, you can choose the style that your bold math will appear in. So in LaTeX, traditionally, you'll have upright Latin letters, but you'll have italic Greek letters, except for the uppercase. The ISO standards, again, say we should be a little bit more consistent and simply use italic for everything. And again, we can use upright in case that's what we want to do according to the font that we're using. Right, so I just want to show you real quickly what this actually looks like in practice. So here we go. Make this bigger. Different sort of bigger. All right, so you start off, you can see this is a zLaTeX document, and you begin your document as with any other. And you start off with you load the package. It does have some package options, but you don't need to worry about them. And we can then set the math font using whatever Unicode math font we have available to us. In this case, I'm going to use the extension of the Styx fonts to demonstrate what's going on here. So this is an example of a mathematical equation from the AMS math test suite. And it looks like this, just to show you. What I'd like to demonstrate is changing the style of the bold math in here. So if we take a look at the bold K that's here upright, I've just changed this to be in an ISO style. So when we retypeset the document, wait just a second, we see that it comes up in an italic bold format now. We didn't have to change the source of our mathematics to do this. I'll just change that back to the text style because I prefer that. So taking a look at another equation, we've got this Laplace transform that I demonstrated earlier. And the source of this looks exactly as you would have typed it in real life. What I want to demonstrate is that you can now use Unicode symbols in your input source to write this mathematics. So I push escape just then to autocomplete the tech control sequence into a symbol. This is just a function of the editor that I'm using, TechShop. TechWorks will also support it. And this stuff can be automatically generated. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to get support for text editors to do this as this package becomes more widely, or if this package becomes more widely used. Similarly, your integral can be represented as a symbol and the infinity sign and so on. Retypesetting this will produce exactly the same output, so I'm not sure if I even need to demonstrate it, but there you go. Similarly, in our previous equation, you can get this product sign and make that look like a product sign. Sorry, the... Not at this stage, no, but I'll think about doing that. I'm not exactly sure how that would work. There's only one, as far as I know, there's only one bracket parenthesis within Unicode mathematics, so you can't differentiate between different brackets based on its Unicode value. Finally, if we take a look at some more extensions of, more examples of using Unicode input in our source, we can see a couple of magnetic field equations up here. And to take a look at the source in the LaTeX code, coming down a little bit, Ooh, it's gone. I wonder why that happened. That's embarrassing. It showed up earlier, but I wonder where that would have gone. Oh well. I wonder if we can copy this out of here. I don't think that's going to work. Nope. All right. Down here we can see another example where you have an example of a Greek letter here that is pasted directly into the input source. And there's even a couple of subscripts and superscript characters that you can use in your equations. I'm not saying that people want to be doing this, but when you're copying and pasting text between different areas from a PDF or from a web page or something like that, you might end up with these superscript or subscript characters in your source unintentionally. If you do want to use them as part of your LaTeX source, that's great. And as you can see, it does help the readability here a little bit. There's another missing symbol in the source here, which is this differential D, which is part of, I think it originally came out from, well, that's a long story. I'll go into that later. So what I've tried to show you here today is that the traditional way of doing the LaTeX maths still works. You can switch fonts without having to change anything. A new Unicode math font might be produced, for example, for Minion, in which case you would just need to buy the font and plug the name into this package, and everything would automatically work, assuming that my package works perfectly all the time, which, you know, the more people use it, the more chance that has of likely to being the case. Now, just as a couple of final remarks, you're not always going to be wanting to use the same font for all of your Unicode math characters. Some fonts will only contain a partial set of characters, and you can always use the Styx fonts to fall back on any characters that you happen to be missing. So it is possible to load different ranges of Unicode symbols with different fonts. So here, you can see that I've loaded different colored fonts for different ranges in the equation. So you can select the equals sign and say that you want that to be green, or you could have a range in there, say from, you know, character 100 up to character 1000, make that purple. I mean, this is all silly, but it emphasizes the flexibility that you can use to select different fonts. So the operators in the script fonts are red, and you got the brackets up there, which are blue. I mean, this might be of use in some sort of education setting where you're trying to teach the kids what the different symbols are, and you could use the colors to emphasize it, but really this shouldn't be taken too seriously. What's going to happen next? Well, who knows? I'm not really sure where the future will take us, but I'm sure it's going to be fun to find out. Thank you very much.
Is it possible to take a glyph from one font family and use another font family except for that one glyph?
Yes, it is. I did have an example for this in which you might want to load a Greek font for a Greek alphabet, for example, in an italic style, but only use, say, an upright pi, because in the ISO standards you want to use an upright pi to represent a constant. You can do this with this font, so it hasn't been extensively tested, but yes, you can use just pluck one single symbol from an alphabet. Thanks.
Okay. Maybe we should just go on to the